check it out. When you get transcendental trickery, check it out. All groups on the right, like for instance, take our friends from the Hare Krishna who are going to be speaking next. Obviously, they're not brainwashing somebody because they're walking around and telling you who they are. A lot of people are walking around who aren't telling you who they are. And it's not necessarily the vulnerable people who join these groups. Let me just make that point. The people at the solar temple included a mayor, PhDs, very rich people. It ain't necessarily a bum on the street who joined the new religious movement. Anybody can join a new religious movement, and it's anybody's right to do so. All I'm saying is, before you believe, and that means suspending rationality, check out, check out, check out.
My next speaker to oppose the motion is Mr. Thomas Hayden from the Hare Krishna. There are still special words, so maybe we'd like to send it in there. Thomas. So many points have been raised, and I'd like to also raise a few points of discussion. First of all, I'd like to say I'm not 100% opposing the opposition, the motion, because in one sense I would definitely oppose certain aspects, but then again other aspects I wouldn't. Now, the word religion is also a very big word, and it has many different interpretations and meanings. There are, when you say orthodox religions, it's very hard to know exactly what you mean by orthodox and unorthodox, because orthodox philosophy, religion is not orthodox philosophy, very unorthodox. As a matter of fact, most religions that believe in things like raising the dead and the fact that God lives up in some dimension that we can't even approach, and the fact that we're going to have some sort of afterlife that we've never seen, and the fact that we believe in something which we have never actually had direct experience of. So what is orthodoxy? You could say that something brought in the purview of our senses, something that we can see, taste, touch, hear, is necessarily religion orthodox, and is there such a thing as an orthodox religion? I would actually put the counter motion that there is no such thing as orthodox religion. There is conventional religions, there are religions which are to some degree are bona fide and non-bona fide. Now, the Vedic literature explains that the actual purpose of life is to find out truth. Now, truth is... truth is something which is given very clearly in the Vedas, and that says it's the distinction between reality and illusion. Now, reality and illusion, the Vedas say that the whole purpose of human existence is to understand the clear distinction between reality and illusion for the welfare of all. Now, the thing is that what we're talking about in terms of education is for people's welfare, for people's benefit. Now, generally, what we find is that truth or knowledge brings a certain degree of mastership over matter. That's why in this university you have many materialistic sciences, which you are all being educated to some degree or other, and you are then accepting them as truth. Many of those sciences are based on theories and relative conceptions. Some of them are downright false. Some of those sciences which you call truth are as far from the truth as you can get. But that's not that, that's a matter purely of an opinion. But what we would say in Vedic literature is actually the real search for truth is to find out the cause of all causes. Now, every single science is based on cause and effect. And in some sciences, by studying the effect, you can understand the cause. In some sciences, by studying the effect, you get more confused about the cause. Religion is one of those sciences which is also the study of cause and effect. You have what you call relative effect and absolute philosophy. In the material sciences, we're dealing with relativity, and therefore people who are, relatively speaking, identifying with the body as the self and identifying with matter as being the main force in the universe, Therefore, their knowledge will always be relative to matter. But those who take to a spiritual path, they're looking for another goal, which is to find out the absolute truth, or God, if you want to call it that. Now, absolutism, the problem with absolutism is it's very unorthodox, because we have no actual perception of anything which is absolute. So these are called, in Vedic literature, they are called axiomatic truth. They are truths which can stand the phases of time. In other words, they are truths which are existent, just like Jesus Christ brought a message 2,000 years ago. But it's still being studied in theological colleges throughout the world, because in the sense that Lord Jesus' teachings is an absolute truth. Now, therefore, the real education in society, if we want to protect people, is we actually have to have an educational system which is based both on relative and absolute truths. And therefore, if you want to protect people, the only way you can protect people is by giving them knowledge. So, the difficulty you have is when you say, as an example, I'll give you an example, when you say that these dangerous cults, and we would be branded amongst them to some degree or other, purely out of ignorance, because if you study Hinduism as an example, it's the second biggest religion in the world. The Hindu religion is very misunderstood because there's no such thing as the word Hindu. It doesn't exist. What Hinduism is a group of philosophies based upon the Vedantic literature, of which Buddhism is one offshoot, but it's an atheistic offshoot, but I won't go into that. But the point is that there's two basic principles of philosophy in Hinduism, and there's the theistic and there's the non-theistic. Now, the Hare Krishna movement is based on a theistic aspect of the philosophy, the devotional aspect, which is coming down at least in the last 4,000 years. And I'd like to say that if we have enough books on the philosophy, if anyone likes to read them, it would actually take you this lifetime to study. So the problem is, you see, is that because people are ignorant of the philosophy behind it, they tend to paint everyone with the same brush. I'm just going to...
Could I just ask you, would that be the reason why you believe reincarnation, so you could have to read the rest of the books?
Yes. Very good point, by my theory. You may have to come back and read them later. But one thing I would say is that the an important point to understand... You caught me off guard. So, the thing is that the important point to understand is that when you're actually... I mean, I'll give you an example. When you're throwing out the dirty bathwater, don't throw the baby out as well. You understand? There's a tendency to sort of paint everyone with the same brush. They're all dangerous. Look at them, they've got shaved heads and they wear face sheets. They should be strung up or locked away. They're a danger to our children. They're corrupting our very society that we live in. And actually, what I'd like to point out to you as an example, just with the Hare Krishna movement, we follow a tradition which has been passed down in India for thousands of years. Many people would glorify the gentleman Mahatma Gandhi. His whole philosophy was based upon the same teachings of Bhagavad Gita, of which we follow. We have principles, no meat eating, which is not completely adhering to non-violence. We don't even kill insects, unless they can actually kill you. That's the only exception. But the point is that the idea being is that we don't involve in any type of intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex. We follow very strict, rigid principles, but at the same time, we are completely socially based. Now, you'll find in India that, in relative terms, you see, if I went to India dressed like this, I would actually get practically, I'd get free travel on the buses. Can you believe that? Just because I'm dressed like that. I can walk into the home of any man who, and I've done this, even politicians, they would never refuse me entrance into their home, all because I'm dressed like this. All because I follow the teachings of the Vedas. And I've actually lived in India for 5 years, so I'm not talking simply from speculation. And then on the other hand, if I go to colleges in India, I would be welcome to speak there to the students on the philosophy of the Vedanta. But at the same time, in another country at another time, I could be crucified. I could be actually locked up, as we had in Russia, and actually put through all sorts of brainwashing systems are accused of. At the same time, I would not say that society should not be protected But what I say is society, the first protection society should be given is against ignorance. And that is, I think that is the main discussion here. I think the great lack in Western society, particularly, also in Eastern society now, is that because we've pursued the philosophy of materialism, which is in reality is the religion of exploitation, we therefore have a big problem with the other philosophy, which is the philosophy of dedication. You see, religion is dedication, materialism is exploitation. So therefore, I don't think that we should then say that because we're, our philosophy is based on exploitation, and it's very accessible and very enjoyable, we should therefore immediately throw out anything which might have any sort of dedication in it, which might require the adherence to get up early in the morning or chant various mantras from various books, or they might actually abstain themselves from different types of intoxications or meat or various things like that. So I think the point I'm trying to make is that, yes, we should protect the students, but protect them with knowledge. And that is what you're actually being given. And I think that unless you open up as universities and colleges and institutions of learning, unless you do open yourself up to actual studying in depth various religions, then you always have this ignorance which is causing destruction all over the world. Why does a Protestant hate a Catholic? Because of ignorance. Christians go out and crucify and kill so many people in the holy wars, generally because of ignorance. The same way the Muslims will go out and would happily chop up a Hindu. You see? It's all because of ignorance. It's not because that they don't like the way they have their head shaved or the way that they wear bed sheets or bathrobes. It's because they don't know what the heck they're about. And just like any insect, I will give you one example, and I'll finish on this, is that many times you see people when they find an insect on their table, it's dead. You know why? They didn't like the look. Thank you.